And thank you to Brother Dave for leading us. Thank you all for being here this evening. It's wonderful to see you all tonight. Our program will go something like this evening, now that we've had a few hymns to loosen up a little bit. Although I noticed that you folks are having nice conversations before the meeting, which is good. We let it go on a little extra long there to before we started. But we'll have a violin special just now, in just a moment. And there are several of those of us who have been practicing for that. And so we look forward to that. And then I alerted all of you folks that are regular attenders at the church to be ready to give some Thanksgiving testimony this evening. So if you've been thinking about that, hopefully you can share that with us after the violin special music. And then we'll have a couple of the gentlemen come up and lead us in prayer so that we can pray and thank our God for what He has done for us in the past year. And then I will have a little message from the Word. And then we have a very special number tonight by my wife and Anna Widgen, one of my favorite hymns, and I hope that you will enjoy it as well. I'm looking forward to the presentation of that hymn. And that will close the service. So we'll keep things moving and ask you folks to come up that are going to play the violin. Naomi and Christina and Emma and Sydney. You didn't know that we had so many violinists in our church, did you? Too much ahead of time for this part of the service. I've been thinking about all the different things I could say about how I'm thankful and how the Lord has really blessed us this year. And the one thing I did want to say for sure is that I just thank God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for what He has done in our assembly and giving us a cohesive body of believers here and a supportive body. And one that's working together the best way that we can. And I just thank the Lord for that. It's a wonderful testimony to His grace and to His work. He always has the truth there in the Scriptures for us that not even the gates of hell will prevail against the church. And I thank Him for that because it's His work and we are able to take part in that. So I thank Him for that. But also more specifically, just I thank you all. And all of the others that couldn't be here today, this evening, just for your role at Fellowship Bible Church and your role in supporting us. We've gotten phone calls and letters and and thank you notes and things over the last 6 or 7 months since I've been called as the pastor here, and it's been a real encouragement, and so I just thank you very much for that. There are many other things I could say thanks for, but I will stop and turn it over to you. Is there anyone who would like to give a little testimony about what they are thankful for? Well, we don't have a roaming microphone here, so you're going to have to speak up a little bit, and I might just reiterate what you've said if I could hear it, and everyone else might not have been able to, but who will volunteer? You don't have to worry if those kids are squirming a little bit, because I know mine are first and foremost in that category, so do it from there is fine. Yep.
I'm thankful, number one, that I'm here with family, friends, and I had the opportunity to visit this church again. Last time I was here, it was a little more powerful occasion. But I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be in one piece, and I'm happy for my life. And I'm thankful for my family and friends.
Amen. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate that. Charlie is Sula's husband. Sula is the oldest sibling in the Kornilakis family from Oklahoma. I see all you folks poking each other to tell them to go, you know, come on. Yes, Sula. Thank you. That's excellent testimony. Okay, anyone else? Taylor, you're standing up tall there. Why don't you say something? Okay, Becca. Excellent testimonies. All right. Anyone else? Olivia?
Well, I'm
Thank you, Olivia. Many of you probably don't know that Olivia's dad was in the hospital yesterday. Brother Mbala was for some ailment that not quite sure what it was, but it caused him a severe headache and fever and different things. So just remember him. He's home now, but still not feeling well. So we should remember him in prayer when we have some prayer in a moment here. Okay? Anyone else? Betty? Yes. Yeah. Amen. And in that sense, it was a tough year for those of you that haven't been involved in the church or visiting. We had four deaths in the church, regular attenders and members of the church here this year. So it's been tough. Probably, I don't know, it's more than we've ever had in any year in the history of this church, I suppose. I'm not sure, but it's pretty close. And of those that we've known and that have gone on or before to another place or something, we've had a funeral almost every month this year, at least that I've been at or done. So, but we are thankful that that service, that funeral service, isn't the end. It's only really just scraping the surface of the beginning for those people that are with the Lord now. And they're enjoying a much better Thanksgiving service now than we are. All right. Yes, Betty? Wait a minute. Yes. Amen. All right. Good testimony. Mike. Amen. Thank you, Mike, for that testimony as well.
You going to say something?
Amen. Yeah. There's joy, but there's also sorrow, friends. We can be open with that. So, yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Brother James. Amen. Amen. That's great. Yes, Mrs. Beard. He is. All right. Some of you couldn't. I'm sorry. Okay. Some of you couldn't hear. She was just thanking the Lord for how He's supported her during the last 7 months, I think now, isn't it already? Since the end of May, when her husband went home to be with the Lord, Mr. Beard. And she testified that he's happy where he is now. But the church has really been a help to her in this last month. And we just, it's a privilege to serve you. Yes, Olivia, it's a second blessing for me, huh? Mm-hmm.
Happy when we came to this church because everything that she wanted us to learn.
Dave?
Sometimes I don't know. I'm just a science person, kind of a political thinker, so I was thinking today, a lot of times you don't get an answer, at least in medicine, by saying what is, but what is not. You know, finding it by eliminating things, and I was thinking, just looking over things, and you know, it's the great gratitude and almost the shock of my ingratitude of how much God has given me. You know, and you know, some of the things that were mentioned, you know, I'm healthy. You know, I see people that are unhealthy all the time. I don't regularly thank the Lord like I should for that. That I have health. I didn't go hungry today. I'm not going to get shot at today. You know, I don't have to stand someplace where I'm afraid I'm going to get blown up. I have a job to go to. The Lord has allowed me to think. He's given me a church. Where I can sing praise, I can hear the word of God be taught. I have a family, church family, my family, and you know, just going through a lot of things. I was like, there's nothing made. You know what I mean? Which is amazing, and I have to praise God for everything that He's given me, because He's given me so much. And the biggest thing, of course, is that everything He's given me in Christ. He died for me, he saved me, and he hasn't given up on me, even though any day of the week, if it were up to what I do, that could easily be done. But because we are held by God and His strength, and because of what Christ did, I have an eternal hope. So everything I have, everything around me, is praise to God.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. Anna?
Also very thankful that I didn't come back to Michigan for college. It was another test that they did, but I found such blessings living here. And I was thinking, because life gets hard to navigate, you know, and I'm truly thankful that I have you guys to, you know, watch and listen to and talk to and just help figure things out.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Mrs. B. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I know you couldn't all hear that maybe, but Mrs. B was just thankful for the church family, which has kind of been an adopted family for her because she's the youngest of her siblings and only has one niece and one nephew in Indiana. So that's all a natural family that she has here in this life. And so she's also thankful for Bob Evans, I think, because they do a lot of her cooking. we enjoy going out to Bob Evans with Mrs. B, so I had to mention that. All right, anyone else? Okay, anyone else? I don't want to leave anyone out. Yes, Bill. Amen. She does a good job putting up with you too, brother. Yeah. All right. Well, I'd like to ask Brother James Widgeon if he'll come and lead us in prayer and just spend a few minutes before the Lord and thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Brother James, please come right away here, right up here, I should say, and lead us in prayer, okay?
Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we come to you again to give you thanks, oh Lord, as we reflect upon your goodness towards us. We know that of ourselves we're not worthy of thee. We know that we would never be able to measure up to the standard of the Holy God. And you provided your Son, the only begotten, to be our substitute, to be the propitiation for us, for our sins. And we give you thanks for that. And Lord, we thank you for this assembly, the way that you put it here in the midst of this city, to be a light, a testimony, to be a place where our people can come and hear the word of the Lord clearly taught. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you have allowed us to be able to move ahead and to be together. I thank you, as I mentioned earlier, that you have put before us a young man to stand in this place to provide according as the Spirit of the Lord works in him, the word of the Lord, the ministry of the gospel from this local place. Help us all to be praying continually for him to understand that the responsibility is awesome and that we must not take it lightly. We must do what we can do together to see that the work prospers in the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for each one who is gathered in tonight and for others who desire to be here but they couldn't. for my brother in Conga, that you will help him, especially who just now has this difficulty in his body. And we pray, Lord, that as we move on from this day and having paused for a time of thanksgiving, we ask you to lead us along in the way that we should go. And before I close this prayer, I will lift up young Ben Howerson before thee again. And Lord, we ask you for that young man, that you would be pleased to protect him, that you would give him the peace of God in the midst of the danger that he's facing every hour of every day. And that at an appropriate time, you bring him safely home again. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this privilege. Keep us praying, Lord, we ask in the name of Christ, the Savior, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, James, for that. I was thinking this past few days about what I should speak to you about this evening from the Bible, and I lighted upon a passage in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19 is the address. By way of introduction, let me just read a little firsthand account of the first unofficial, of course, but first Thanksgiving meal, 1621. Many of you have probably heard of William Bradford, the governor there of the colony, but this is written by a man named Edward Winslow. He said this, kind of interesting how they wrote back then, of course, but he said, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling," F-O-W-L-I-N-G, that's a bird hunt, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. Those four in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms." Now, I looked up, what does that mean? Well, it's not talking about exercising our arms. They're talking about exercising their muskets. They had some sporting events with their muskets, and also the Indians that joined them showed their prowess at their bow. And so they had some, a little, you know, picnic type thing there with some competitions. And it says, "Many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted." Well, that's Thanksgiving. 3 days, not just one day. "And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was this time with us," we sang, it's not always been that good, "but by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you to be partakers of our plenty," writing to those that were far away from them. And they said, "How we wish that you could be partakers of our plenty because of the goodness of God." And so with that in mind, just by way of a Thanksgiving introduction, let me read what the passage is before us this evening in Luke chapter 17. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem," this is Jesus, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Let me just give you a little bit of background about this. The text first tells us that Jesus was traveling from the northern part of Israel down to the south. He had to pass through Galilee and Samaria in order to do that. The text also talks about a leper, 10 lepers here. And I wanted to just bone up a little bit on what leprosy is about. It's known as Hansen's disease today. In fact, the Bible, when it talks about leprosy, probably has a wider range of diseases in view than what is technically, clinically diagnosed as Hansen's disease today. But in any case, Hansen's disease is carried by a Hansen's bacteria, but it's actually something that's contained in the bacteria that invades the nerve system of a person and ultimately causes some kind of nerve damage, may cause depigmentation of the skin, other problems, may lead to paralysis of the hands or of the feet, loss of feeling there. The bacteria is not uncommon, especially in areas where people get it, but 95% of people are immune to this, just roughly. 95% of people's immune systems can handle this. Some people have the ability to rid themselves of this leprosy over time. Maybe several years it takes for the leprosy to be removed. They, quote, heal themselves. Their immune system does. But it's of a nature that's not really highly contagious. Interesting little bit there of about leprosy. One common misconception about it: does not cause skin rotting, from what I understand. What it does is desensitizes the feeling in those limbs or fingers or feet or whatever, so that any little injuries to them can fester and sores can grow, and these problems can result from that, serious problems. Lepers in the biblical times and even today are considered, in some places, are considered outcasts. They were unclean. They had a problem that was considered as a religious uncleanness. And in Leviticus, written about 3,500 years ago today, or about 1,500 years before the time this was written, set forth some instructions for the Jewish people to know what to do in the case of a leprous person. How do you know if they have it? How do you know if they've fully been cleansed from it? And so those things were set forth, and the Jews were very careful to try to keep those things. As a result, the regular healthy people would be separated from the lepers, and so there'd be leper colonies. And that's why the text tells us that there were 10 lepers who stood afar off. They wouldn't come near. They were required to cry out before they came what their status was, so that people would know to clear the way. If you've ever watched the movie Judah Ben-Hur, you'll see lepers in that account of the Lord Jesus and of this man Ben-Hur. But that's the situation with leprosy. And if that's not enough, then this one fellow who returned to give thanks was a Samaritan. He was also a social outcast because of his ethnic background. He was of mixed ethnic background. We mentioned this just coincidentally last Sunday evening about the Samaritans when we were studying another portion of the Bible. And, you know, this fellow would be a double outcast. He was unclean, and he was of the wrong ethnic makeup to fit into the culture, to fit into the society. Not that that was right, but that was just the way that it was. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us, after it gives us this little background information, that when Jesus came into this village, there met him these 10 men who were lepers. You know, they hung out together because they had the same disease, the same problem. They stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they certainly recognized Jesus as to who he was. They recognized him as a master. And they cried out to him. They asked him. They asked him to be healed. Jesus, would you heal us? But they said it this way. They said, have mercy upon us. And so the Lord said, go, show yourselves to the priests. He didn't say, be cleansed, or he didn't do some magic hocus pocus or anything like that. Just the text is so, it presents the miracle in such a plain way that it's almost a minor point. That somebody could stand at a distance, maybe say to that wall or to the back seat over there where Rebecca is sitting and say, go. And the instant that he said it, the bacteria and the ultra-virus that it carried was eliminated from their bodies. How could that be? And the nerves that were damaged in their fingers and their toes were healed. And the sores were gone. And the feeling was restored. But the Bible presents it as if it's nothing. Nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. He is God in the flesh. The second person of the Trinity. The Son of God who was able to do this great miracle just by speaking. And it came to pass. Cleansed here. They became religiously clean, as it were. But they were also healed. Means the same thing, basically. Their healing was their cleansing. And so that was the miracle. Almost just a side point. The main point of the account is yet to come. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is the main point. It says in verse 15, one of them, there were 10 at the beginning, but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face and gave him thanks. Just think of the sequence of events. The 10 men, the word of Jesus. They turn to go to the priests because it's required of them to go to be examined by a priest who can say, yes, you've officially been cleansed. You've done everything according to the law of Moses. Everything's fine. Go your way. You're done. So they went to do that. And as they went to do that, they saw their fingers, their feet. It was amazing. And 9 kept on going. But one turned around and he went back. It says that he, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. And thirdly, with a loud voice, he glorified God. What does it mean to glorify God? It means to praise Him. It means to give Him thanks. It means to honor Him, to revere Him. He glorified God. Fourthly, he fell down on his face. What is he doing there? Well, in the Bible, when anybody falls down on their face before Jesus, it's always worship. And he fell down to worship Jesus, who was so good and so great and so merciful. Their prayer was answered, have mercy on us. And he did. And so he fell down and he gave him thanks. He gave him thanks. And this one was a Samaritan, it says. What is thanks? Have you ever stopped to think, what is thanks? What does it mean to be thankful? Well, if you look it up in the dictionary, it'll say something like to acknowledge something with gratitude or something, which is true. But if you look up gratitude, it might say thanks or something. You know, how do you get down to what really is thankfulness? Well, I came up with 3 things. First, the person who is to be thankful has to recognize that something was done on their behalf, something to help them, something to give them aid. They have to recognize that something was done for their benefit. Secondly, there has to be an internal, what I'll say, attitude of gratitude. Now, I am using gratitude. I don't know how else to say it. An attitude of thankfulness. There's a recognition, there's an attitude, and then there's an acknowledgement that this thing was done and is worthy of appreciation. It's worthy of thanks and honor to the one, whoever it was, responsible for the benefit that was done to you. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we properly recognize? Do we properly recognize what God has done for us? What others have done for us? Do we recognize and then have an attitude in our hearts that's grateful? And don't forget to acknowledge what God or others have done. If any of those things are missing, if you don't recognize, you're not going to be thankful. If you don't have a proper attitude, you're not going to be thankful. And if you don't acknowledge it, you can say, well, I'm thankful in my heart, but sometimes it just doesn't cut it. You know, in your personal relationships, you try to get away with that with your husband or wife or family. Oh, I'm thankful. I never say anything about it, but I'm thankful. No, there's all of those things have to come together. And so when the leper here, it says, when he saw that he was healed, he's recognized and the attitude has welled up in his heart so much so that he has to acknowledge it. So how does he do that? He turns around. He goes back to Jesus and he falls down at his feet and he gives him thanks. And so the one leper out of 10 has the recognition, he has the attitude, and he has the acknowledgement. And the Lord is pleased with that. But the thing that surprised Jesus was that 90% of the people that he healed, 9 out of 10, didn't do anything about it. Now, they were still healed. They still went to the priests. They still got all that stuff, all the benefits, got it all out of the way. But Jesus says in verse 17, were there not 10? You know, he's probably looking. Here's one at his feet. Where are the other 9? I don't see them. The attitude was missing in their hearts. The recognition was not there. The acknowledgement certainly wasn't there. And the Lord notes that. And you can hear, can't you hear the disappointment that's in Jesus' mind when he sees that there's only 1 out of 10 that have come back to even say thanks? I mean, the man cannot return to Jesus what Jesus did for him. The man could serve Jesus for all of his life and never get to the point where he'd pay back Jesus for healing him in an instant from a disease that can cause permanent damage, irreversible damage. And so were there not 10, where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, to give glory to God, to thank him, to praise him? Not any except this foreigner? You know, kind of saying, hey, you know, my people who know me, the people that are like me, not even ethnically different from me, don't even come back to say thanks. But this foreigner did. What's he saying about the foreigner? Foreigners, just as well as regular people in his, you know, in his culture, Jews, but foreigners, everybody other than Jews, could also partake of the benefits that Jesus offered. The door was not closed just because they were a mixed race or they were, you know, something that was not culturally acceptable. The door was still wide open for them. And this one did what was pleasing to the Lord. And so the Lord answered back to him and said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. It's not that faith is the, how do you want to say, the means by which, you know, faith wasn't the medicine. Faith was the channel through which the medicine came. Faith was exercised in this man's heart, and Jesus worked through that faith to allow that man to become whole. Now, he just wasn't healed. He was made well. Different word. He was saved, actually. He was saved from his past. He was saved from his sin. And as a benefit of that, he was also healed from that disease that he had. God's power was exercised in this one. You know, the other 9, apparently they were made, they were healed, but it doesn't say that they were made fully well. It doesn't say that they exercised the kind of faith that this 10th individual did to show his real earnest care for Jesus, his real earnest commitment to him. A lot of times people come to Jesus to solve their problems. Right, my marriage problems, my work problems, my family problems. Jesus, you know, solve them. Help me. But this 1 out of 10 shows a different attitude. The Lord can solve all those problems. I have no qualms about that. But he can solve a much greater problem. And that is the problem that this man, his life was, he was spiritually dead. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Let's apply this just a little bit. What the Bible is telling us here is that we need to be thankful. Believers, we need to be thankful. We need to teach our children to be thankful. We need to be thankful toward each other. We need to be thankful towards our wife, towards our husband, towards our family, in the church. Here's an application for you. Just practice being thankful tonight instead of unthankful, if that's perhaps been something that you struggled with. Be thankful with your wife. Be thankful with your husband. Be thankful with your children, your parents, whatever. But in this passage, thankfulness is not just told to us as if it's a virtue that's just a human virtue. You know, we have to be thankful to one another because that's how society works well, and it's a nice thing to do. But thankfulness here is towards God primarily. It says that the man fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and gave him thanks. So it's not just I thank you or my wife me or the children or whatever it is, but it's thankfulness to God. And so many times the Bible tells us about thankfulness to God. It says we need to be thankful to God for what He has done for us. On the other side of the equation, there is at least one verse that tells us in the Scriptures that one character trait of those that are not saved, those that are unsaved, one trait of them is that they are unthankful. It says in Romans that because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. Nor were they thankful. Remember the definition of thanks, that three elements to it, a recognition, an attitude, and an acknowledgement? Well, that passage said they don't recognize God. And so they don't have the attitude in their heart to thank God. And obviously, if they don't have those, they're not going to acknowledge God. And so that's a character trait of an unbeliever. Believers, all of you that are born again, saved people, must have an attitude of thankfulness to God. It's just, well, I say must. You just naturally will. You will want to thank God. You will produce that thankfulness just naturally with no extra effort really involved. But you can put extra effort. You can make strides in the direction of saying thanks to God. Practice that. When should you be thankful? Well, the Bible says many times before a meal, we ought to give thanks. It says during the Lord's table, when we have the table here and we partake of the bread and the cup in the communion, the Lord Jesus gave thanks. And Paul tells us we ought to also give thanks. The apostle does there in 1 Corinthians 11. We should give thanks in all of our prayers. We should give thanks in everything we do. We should give thanks always for all things. And what are all things? Well, we could stop and think. Everything. Huh. Thank God for creating us. Thank God for saving us. Thank God for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His attributes. Thank God for His holiness and His mercy and His love. Thank God for other Christians. And I do thank God for other Christians. Thank God for all people. It says, the Apostle Paul tells us again, that prayer and supplication should be made for all men, and thanksgiving should be made for them as well. Thanksgiving for giving us victory over sin as saved people. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. That doesn't mean everything is nice and happy, but in everything give thanks, because God is working in everything to do something with us and to transform us, excuse me, to draw us to Himself. So the lesson, I think, tonight is let's not be like the unthankful, those unthankful lepers, those unthankful nine who received a gift from God's Son, but they made no ado about it. They made no acknowledgement of it. Part of thankfulness, recognition, remember that, recognition. Part of thankfulness is recognition of a benefit that's done. And if you stop and think about the benefits that God has given to you and stop to recognize them, I trust that that will well up into thanksgiving in your heart, an attitude and then an acknowledgement. The greatest benefit, friends, I just tell you straight up, that God has done for us is that He has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the ultimate tragedy if we don't recognize that, either at all, or maybe we became a saved person and we sort of just leave that little truth behind. Oh, friends, you can't do that because that's not thankful. And God does not like when we're unthankful. Do you like when your children are unthankful? Oh my, no, that's not cool. It's not nice. And God doesn't either, because unthankfulness is at bottom wrong. Unthankfulness is sin. Unthankfulness is not recognizing God for who He is and what He has done and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has paid for our sins. He's got the door wide open, saying, whosoever will may come. And He invites and He waits for people just to recognize. That's all you have to do is recognize. And once you recognize, then that attitude of thankfulness will be there. You will believe in Him. You will trust in Him. You will thank Him for what He has done. If not, if you don't recognize the value of it, it's not going to do you any good. And you certainly won't be thankful for it. And that's not happy for God. God is not pleased with that. So maybe the lesson tonight, in short, would be, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Did I not give my life for the salvation of the world? Where is everybody? Oh, friends, if it's only 10%, it's a sad situation, because it could be 100. The provision is open wide enough for all. And He waits to see if one will recognize what He has done. So I trust you have, and you will continue to do that. This message is not just for unbelievers or just for believers. It's for all of us to be recognizing, to have an attitude, and to be acknowledging what God has done with appreciation. And oh, thank Him for that. Let's thank Him together now as we close this part. We'll pray, and then I'll ask my wife and Miss Widgeon to come and sing a song that will hopefully seal this message to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have allowed us the privilege to be here this night. Our God, You are so good. You are so kind. You are so holy. All the things that You have caused to fall across our path this year are worthy of our thanks, because You have given them to us in Your love. Some of us You have given new children. Some of us You have taken away our loved ones to be with Yourself. Some of us have had other difficulties physically, emotionally, spiritually. Some of us have had great joys and triumphs and new jobs and new progress. And Lord, we thank You for them all. We thank You that for the ages, the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who came to die for the benefit of mankind, to die in our place and to, in that way, take our punishment upon His own shoulders. That, Lord, we want to recognize that tonight again. We want to publicly acknowledge that. And I thank You for so many who testified that of that very thing in the earlier part of our service. Lord, You know our hearts. You know that I hope we can say we all want to be thankful in the most appropriate fashion. And we ask for Your help to do that this night. Help us not to be unthankful, for that is ill, that is sin, that is wrong. But help us to be thankful for all that You have done in everything. And so, Lord, in all those things we give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust you were blessed by that special number. Wow. I've been looking forward to that all week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for all your perfect gifts. We pray now that you help us to take that refrain with us, to remember what you have done on our behalf. Dismiss us with your blessing, Lord, we pray, and let us have a nice time with our families tomorrow. May we be able to join again one with another on the Lord's Day to again worship your name, for you are good. Your mercy endures forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed. Good night.